When I look at what's happening around the world, it grieves me in a way that it hasn't done before. And I'm seeing atrocities on both sides of the equation and innocent people and innocent lives. And it affects me, and I'm sure it affects you. But I come back to God's word, and I felt guilty for being in a safe place. I feel guilty having food in my stomach and resources around me, yet God has called us to minister his grace, hasn't he? You know, when we look in the world and we look around the world, we need to understand that the gospel isn't just for one or two people, it's for all who will listen. So part of the challenge for me is to articulate that gospel, not just in a room of people that know who God is. When we look through scripture and we think about the Jews and the Gentiles, we think about Peter. He would go to the Jews, and when he used the word God, they understood who God was. It was the God of what we would now say the Bible, but the Torah. It was the God of the law that Moses spoke about when we were talking to the Gentiles. Paul would preach and they would say, "What God? Which one of the many deities are you talking about?" So we need to be a people, I believe, that will speak a language that others will understand. And just recently, you've heard the term, "Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater." Well, I like to use the one about the pendulum in my life. And I want to share about what I was talking about last week. And it's about God's healing power. And there's a pendulum that swings. And to give some context, I need to give you an insight into my thinking and my heart as I look through scripture, so that you can grasp and understand what I'm trying to say. And maybe you've experienced this too. There's a pendulum that swings. And really, in scripture, we want to get it balanced. We want to take the word, we want to take what God says, and we want to mix it with faith, and we want to believe that God can do everything he said he can do. Amen? Is that true? As a young Christian, I grew up in a Pentecostal charismatic church where we believed what the Bible said about the gifts of the Spirit and the grace of God working in our lives. We understood that wasn't by our own merit, it was by the gift of grace that God gave to us. But I chose to stretch out my hand and grab hold of his. And through that time, I witnessed the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there was a part of my life where I would be upset about the snake oil salesman, where they would say, "If only you take this water, send me $10 and God will heal you. If only you put $1,000 into the offering, God will heal you." Well, I'm here to say that God will heal you and there is no cost. Come by without money. And because of things like that, this once energetic Christian that believed that all things were possible, that believed that God who created me could recreate me, started to not doubt God, but not articulate it. To not preach a message on healing, because I was worried that people might think that I'm going to just say, "Do this and send some money into our ministry and God will heal you." I want us to know the truth about God's word. So last week, I brought 7 ways that Jesus healed, and they were different. You know, he healed for a word of instruction. How many of us believe that prayer works? Right. When we pray for someone, we don't necessarily see the outcome, do we, all the time? But we believe that God is able. If, you know, someone would say to me, "I can't believe that there would be a man that would survive in a fish for 3 days. Well, just look at me. I can't believe that I was created from dust. If God created me, he can recreate me, yes? If I have an arm missing, he can give me a new arm. That's the truth of it, friends. But we're happy to pray for a headache, or we pray for a small thing, but God can recreate as well. Let's not put God in a box. So there's times where you will pray, and what you're doing is you're speaking the word. "Lord, we ask in Jesus' name." You're speaking the word, and Jesus just healed by a word. And then we saw that there was times where he laid hands on the sick, and there'll be times where someone will say, "Will you pray for me?" And you go, "Yeah," and you just put your arm on their arm. You put their hand on their shoulder and you don't feel anything. There's no unction to function. There's no supernatural anointing that you feel, but you know that you just want to touch this person. Because why? Because you feel their grief. It's a union, isn't it? To become one in the sense, in the spiritual. And you just put your hand on them and you just pray. And sometimes we see the miraculous happen in front of us, don't we? And sometimes we don't. But is God the same? Is Jesus the same yesterday, today and forever? Yes, is the answer to that. And we know there's times we can lay hands on the sick. And I want to share some stuff with us today in the moments that we have. And just encourage you not to allow the pendulum to swing too far, but to have a stable look at what Scripture says about what God can do. And there was a time, and I'm going to share some testimony, because I don't like to talk about myself too much, but I want to share testimony. I know there's people in this room today that have experienced the miraculous. I know that, because they've shared it with me over the years. When it comes to their children, my wife, when she was pregnant with Karis, she had an awful time. And she was told by good-meaning Christians that the child inside her womb was not going to survive. Now, that's a prophecy that we rejected. But can you see how easy it is for well-meaning people, these are church people, to speak negative things in our lives? And we can take that on and go, yeah, I know, because Susan's always sick and she's ill, and there's this happening and this happening and this happening. Or we can say, Lord, this is your child. You do what you need to do. And at that point, the Lord spoke to me and he said, your daughter will be well. And Karis was born well. And we called her Karis because, goodness, we needed grace. You know, there's times in this church where I tell this story time and time again, because it's a true story and it's a wonderful story, where there was a little girl called Lily May and she had 2 weeks or so to live. Is that true? 2 weeks to live. And she came into this building with a drip coming out of her nose and this lifeless body. And the family, who were not Christians, said, we're going to have a party to say goodbye to this child. And will you christen her? And I said, I'll dedicate her. And I was invited to come. There's a bouncy castle at the back. There's noise going on everywhere. We had a 16-year-old mother who had given birth to this child, and a 16-year-old father that hated each other. They're standing here on my left. And we have grandparents, and we have all this going on. And in the midst of that, this lifeless body is in my arms. And this thought came to my head, and I turned to the, not the parents, but the carers of the parents, because they were living with another family. And I said, will you ask if I can pray as if this is my child? And she said, yes. I've asked them as who can. I said, no, you don't understand. Can I pray as if this was my child? And she said, yes. I said, no, you don't understand. Can I pray as if it was my child? She said, yes. And this was just before Easter, and we've got this lifeless body in our arms. And when I say "our," it's every Christian that's there. There's no feeling, no unction to function in me. There's no great faith in me that was stirred up. There was no word of prophecy that the Lord said to me, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. None of that, but there was a heart of compassion. Can you see that? He's a lifeless child, and all I could do is grieve. And I just lifted this child up and said, Lord, this is Resurrection Sunday. This is Resurrection Sunday. And I was loud. And I was fervent. And I wasn't letting go until God blessed this child, gave her back to the parents-in-law in the sense of the carers. And we got on with life. And then 7 years later, I'm at work. I'm doing a job for someone. And I heard this car coming down the road. It was boom, 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 and it sped into the garden, and it stopped, and the door opened, and out stepped this woman, and she said, hello, Andrew, you don't remember me? And I said, no. She said, well, this is Lily May, who you prayed for 7 years ago, still alive and well. Was there anything in me that had great faith? No. But I know that God can. And that's what I want to say. Let's not put God in a box and say, this is too big for you, God. This is too big, you can't do it. And there's times where Jesus, just the virtue came out of him. And there was healing. There's gifts of healing that the Bible talks about. There's unusual ways that he heals. Don't sell the handkerchief. But it happened. Just the shadow, and it happened. Spitting on the floor, in the mud, and plying it over the eyes. And I like what someone said last week. It was the DNA of God. There's times he empowered his disciples. And there's times that someone's personal faith, and Jesus said to them, your faith has made you well. One Christmas, we had a carol service here in church, and a lady who attended church, we know her well. She doesn't come here now. And she said, there's a friend of mine that has been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and there is no hope. Because there's no hope, she's had a strain on her marriage, her husband has left her, nobody knows how to comfort her. And she was invited to come to this carol service, and she came, and I didn't know this lady, and she was introduced to me, and I just went up and grabbed her hand and said, hello, my name is Andrew. And I looked at her and I said, you have cancer. We don't like to use them words, do we? I hear you're not well. I hear there's a problem. No, you have cancer. Let's call it for what it is. And there was nothing in me that had a great stirring of faith. I wasn't someone who thought that God had anointed me to do anything. What was it for me? Just compassion. Just compassion, because I saw something in someone else and I couldn't do anything. And I held her hand. And at that moment, I just looked at her and said, you have cancer. We're going to pray. And I just prayed that God would dissolve the cancer. Didn't feel anything, didn't shake, didn't shudder, didn't feel fire come from my hand, didn't see a manifestation of the Spirit. She never repented and came to Jesus, but she's still alive and well today. See, let's not put God in a box. So what I want to share with us, maybe not very well, but I want to share that God can. Let's meet him. Let's dare to believe that he will. Let's dare to believe that nothing is impossible. Let's dare to believe when we pray for the atrocities that are going on around the world, that God is able, in the midst of everything else, to do something. My message for Nigel is reach out and receive. One of the greatest healings is salvation, is to get right with God, isn't it? You know, I'd love to see the blind eyes see and the deaf ears hear. I'd love to see the lame leaping. I'd love to see cancers dissolved in front of me. I would love to see the miraculous. But there's nothing more miraculous than salvation. Once I was lost and now I'm found. So when we look at healing, let's start there. Lord, would you move? Lord, would you soften? Lord, would you bring about your salvation? When we think about Gaza and when we think about Israel, it's the love of the Lord that will make a difference. The Bible says our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. There's powers and principalities looking out there to rob, steal and destroy. And you know, sickness doesn't come from God. God said, and it was good. It was very good. Why would he make something very good and then cause us to be sick? It's because we live in a fallen world. And when we look at sickness, we've heard messages over the years, and this is where the pendulum swings too far for me, and I start to recoil from preaching about healing, because I've heard so many teachers say, you are sick because of your sin, Christian. You should say, what sin? I'm right with God. There are sins that separate us from God, aren't there? But when we keep close accounts with God, he forgives us. There are preachers that have said, you are sick because of your lack of faith. Well, you're here. That takes faith. The Bible says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. So we all have faith. It's impossible to please God without faith, the Bible says. But it's impossible to say Jesus Christ is Lord without faith. Do you see that? So if you're a Christian today, you had faith to acknowledge that Jesus is who he says he is and you are who he says you are. And once you've received his grace, you're redeemed. You're justified. You're sanctified. You're set apart. You're going from glory to glory. Does that mean you walk around with a head this big? No. You walk around with a heart this big. A heart that has compassion. There'll be times where you will see something and you will be quickened because of the grace that's in you to do something. Sometimes you'll say the word, you'll go home and you'll pray, Lord, would you move in this situation? Sometimes you'll put a hand on someone and you'll silently pray and they're not aware of it. Other times there'll be a boldness that will come upon us and we'll just say, can I pray for you? There was a lady last week who was hobbling across to watch football. And I let her go by. And then the second time I was convicted to pray. And bumbling words come out of my mouth. Nothing of eloquence. I simply said, I believe in the God of miracles. Can I pray for you? And she said, yes, I need all the help I can get. And even though I bumbled through my prayer, it wasn't eloquent. God's the one who heals, isn't he? So I want to share some things that will encourage you not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but dare to believe that your children will be saved. Dare to believe that God can do the impossible. Have you ever heard someone say, they'll never change? They'll never change. What does God say? They will. They will. They can. Let's believe that. That's a miracle of healing, isn't it? Healing in families. Healing in our body, healing in our mind. There are times where I've met people who have had mental illnesses. That's an illness. We can pray. Someone who's disabled in a way where they're crippled, we can pray. We're not the healer. God is. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Part of our journey here in Grace, and forgive me if I don't do this well, but I want us just to have that faith that Jesus can. I'm not asking for anyone to shake, shudder, or even rattle and roll. But if there is something that the Lord says, then believe it. And I want us to be able to pray for the leper, to pray for the sick person, to pray for the person that's on their deathbed. I won't mention names because the person's not here, but I was speaking with a Christian in this church, from this church, this week, last week. And I was talking about, the question was, do you think God challenges us? Do you think he puts things in our place so that we can, to see what we will do with them? Will God put a circumstance, you preach about healing, will he bring someone close to you to pray for? You preach about peace. Is there turmoil? You preach about, Lord, I need more patience. And the kids rise up. God says, you want more patience. I need to teach you. And I gave an illustration. And it was about praying for the dead. And the person I prayed for is still deceased. However, what came unexpected was a conversation with someone. And they said, I prayed for a man. He was declared clinically dead. This man was into the occult. And he had pictures all over his wall that were demonic. And his family were Christians. And when he died and he was laying in his bed, they came in and cleared all these demonic pictures away. And I prayed for that man. And I prayed that God would have mercy on him. And listen to this. And when he woke up, he said, where are my pictures? See, God can. And it's not dependent on us all the time knowing what he has said. But we do need to understand what his word has said. So anyway, that was my introduction. So I want to read a portion of scripture to you. Sorry, apologise. But what I will say is we start on time and we finish on time. So I will finish on time. And in Mark 5:21, Jesus, let's start at this. Beans, we're talking about the way God works. Let's start here. Let's start at 5:1. There's a story about Jesus going to the Gennesaret, and there was a man who was demon-possessed, if you read this portion of Scripture. He was demon-possessed, and Jesus asked him his name, and he said, "My name is Legion, for there are many of us." And this was a demonic experience. This man had no faith, did he? He didn't have faith that Jesus was going to heal him. He was filled with a demonic spirit. Jesus told those spirits to come out, and they came out. This man had no faith, and yet Jesus had compassion on him. You see what I'm saying? There'll be times where you don't feel anything, but you know Jesus can. And sometimes, in the silence of your prayer, you can say, "Lord, deliver this man. Deliver this situation. Lord, would you move?" Can I encourage you to say that your prayers are not deaf prayers? They're not dumb prayers. They're not moot prayers. Because we're not the healer, he is. And if we give him the opportunity, he'll use us. He'll use you, he'll use me. There will be times where the anointing will be on a person. There'll be a gift of healing in somebody. There'll be a time where there'll be a grace period, where when you pray, your prayers get answered. There'll be a time where you'll lay hands on the sick and you'll be amazed. There was a time where I prayed for a dead person, and this was what was going through my mind. And I don't mean to be flippant, but I was thinking, who's going to raise me from the dead if he gets up? Because I might die of shock. You see, we come in faith, but what happens when it happens? We're amazed. And yet we shouldn't be, should we? But we're amazed when we pray. We prayed for a young girl years ago. She was born and she couldn't see. And we prayed in a prayer group. Just kept praying and praying. And then we got a photograph to say, "This is the little girl and she can see." We never saw her. We never experienced anything. We just stood in faith. Someone asked us, so we did. So this individual, this man, was delivered from the demonic, and yet he had no faith. And when we look at what Jesus does, let's not put him in a box. You see, the enemy, the demons, knew who God was. You know, there's many men who don't know who God is, but the demons did. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Speaking the truth, wasn't he? And there's many men and women that we speak to, they don't know who Jesus is. You know, that's like when Paul preaching, which God, which deity, which many thousands. You know, what always amazes me is when you look through Scripture and it says, and they took this piece of wood and they cut it in half, and half of it they fashioned into a god and worshipped it, and the other half they cooked their breakfast on. Stupid, isn't it? But to them it was real. Why? Because it was a god. You see, the enemy knows who God is, and many, many people who are not demon possessed don't. And Jesus delivered him, and this man wanted to follow him, and we see the grace of God. You know, when we look at the conflicts around this world and we can make a decision, we can say, yes, but these are the goodies and these are the baddies. Do you know what? Doesn't matter. God is in control, and God can move. Even in a demonic situation, God can move. So we need to believe. And when we pray for nations in turmoil, we're not fighting against the flesh, are we? We're not saying, "Lord, take that person out." We're saying, "Lord, have mercy." And that's our prayers. Lord, have mercy. When Jesus began to cross over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered. People had heard about Jesus, and they gathered. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly with him, "My daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So within him, within this man, he understood. He'd heard the stories. I'm putting words into Scripture, but you get the picture. He'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard that lepers were cleansed, that the sick were raised from their bed. He'd heard that the blind could see and the deaf could hear and the mute could speak and the lame could leap. He'd heard that, and he came and he said, "If you only come and lay hands on my daughter, she will live." There was something within him that put his faith in what he'd heard. And most of us will know this story. So Jesus went with him. He's walking towards his house. And could you imagine, I'd be going, can you walk a bit faster? Because my daughter is dying. Can you hurry up? And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And had spent all she had, and yet instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, other translations said, she said to herself, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Now, she didn't put her faith in faith healers. She didn't put her faith in anointing oil. She didn't put her faith in something that wasn't tangible. She believed what Jesus had done for others, he could do for her. And that's what we need to do. Lord, you've done it for others, you can do it for me. And she said, if only. And the story goes on where Jesus said, who touched me? And his disciples said, what do you mean? Who touched you? Who didn't touch you? There's a throng, there's a crowd. What do you mean, who touched me? But Jesus, being who he is, he knew that virtue had gone, that power had gone, that dunamis was demanded upon. He knew that someone had touched him. He knew that there was a demand upon him, and he felt it spiritually. Now, there's times where you may be in a crowd of other people, and you just touch out and say, Lord, you can. That's our faith, isn't it? We ask, he's the one who heals. So this is just to encourage us not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you're like me, the pendulum needs to be in a stable position where we believe that God can. And there's times where, you know, I've watched a televangelist and he said this. He said, stretch your hand out towards the TV and receive your healing. There are some people who got healed by that. I wouldn't do it. And I won't do it, and I won't ask you to send me finances. But God moves in strange ways. There are people who have been fleeced out of thousands of pounds because they bought a bottle of anointing oil. Conceived in a lie. But God heals some people. You see, God moves in strange ways sometimes. And I believe if we're grounded and know that Jesus can, that Jesus will, that Jesus does, that if he can keep a man in a fish for 3 days, he can raise you and I up out of our sick bed. If the Bible says by his word he spoke it and it came to be, and we can pray for someone else and believe that God can. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. And as scripture says, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. Who touched me? Jesus kept looking around in verse 32 to see who had done it. And the woman, knowing what had happened, came and fell at his feet trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. What did she have faith in? She had faith in Jesus. That you can. And one of the things we need to have faith in is not the preacher. Not the person that says that he or she has a healing ministry. But Jesus. And Jesus can use a donkey. If he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through me. He can speak through you. Let's not limit God. He can do what he wants to do. But if we are grounded that Jesus is the one who heals, and he uses people. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead. They said, why bother the teacher anymore? overhearing what they said, Jesus told, "Do not be afraid, just believe." Just believe. Just think about that. Do not be afraid, just believe. Just believe what? I've been thinking about this, and I have a thought, and I'll share that thought with you. It may be the right thought, it may be the wrong thought. He says, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And as I was pondering on this, I want to give you my thought. It doesn't say this in Scripture, but it's just a thought. The synagogue leader came with great faith, didn't he? He said, "If you come and lay hands, she will get well." So maybe when Jesus said, "Just believe," it could be, "Just believe what you believed before when she was alive." You see, we think when we die, it's the end. But spiritually, it's the beginning, isn't it? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Well, there are times where you will be challenged that when something in your life has died, I'm not just talking about a physical death, I'm talking about something that has died, and we have a propensity to bury it and say, "That's it, it can never resurrect. My finances will never resurrect. My relationships will never resurrect. That friendship I have, I'll never be able to get back." Just believe. Just believe. There's a lady that was in a previous church of ours, and she worked as a secretary, and she said, "There's someone in the office, and she was horrible to me. Because I was a Christian. She was horrible." And instead of getting wisdom and discernment, she's just getting cross. And then someone said to her, "You need to pray for her." "Can I not headbutt her?" She didn't say that, they're my words. Because you feel like that, or am I the only one? You know, "Can I give her a spiritual kiss as a Glaswegian headbutt?" No, you need to pray for her. And she came back some months later and she said, "You know what? We're best friends." What happened? Something that was dead was resurrected. So maybe when this man was told just to believe, then maybe it was just to believe what you believed before when she was alive. You see, what we do is, and maybe it's just me, but what we can do, should I say, because I shouldn't say you do it, but what we can do is we put a time limit on things. "Lord, can you do this? And that needs to be done by Saturday, or else there's no hope." There's no hope. It's dead. Don't put limits on it. "Lord, I'm praying for the breakthrough in my family. Lord, I'm praying for the breakthrough in my health. Lord, I'm praying for the breakthrough in my finances. Lord, what's going on? You said that the cattle on the hill is yours, and I belong to you, so where's my inheritance? You, Lord, you said the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I thought I was righteous. Where's my money?" Lord, you can. Just because something looks dead doesn't mean that it's buried. You know, even when it's buried, let's be honest. How much faith do you think Lazarus had? None. He stinketh. You remember the story? Lazarus was in the tomb, and it says he stinketh by now. That's the Greek version. He smells. And Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, I'm not suggesting you go down the cemetery. Please don't get me on that. Unless God says, of course. But what I'm saying is, in a natural sense, just get the picture. If there's something happening in your life that is dead and buried, you can still pray for resurrection life. See, healing comes in many forms. Mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. There are many people who are walking around with shame. God takes that shame through Jesus Christ. There's many people who will walk around and there's part of their life that has died because they've been traumatized. They've been abused. They've been violated. God can resurrect that. So maybe it's not anyone in this room, but anyone who listens. Maybe they can find full restoration. In Romans 10, and I'm going to have to finish in 2 minutes. Romans 10 says this. 17. "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." When we read about Jesus Christ, that's when faith comes. What are you putting your faith in? Jesus. I don't know if I've got enough faith to believe this. Do you believe that Jesus is who he said? Yes, that's enough faith. In Isaiah 53 verse 1, it's a longer scripture and I've got 60 seconds. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He's talking about Jesus. He was despised, rejected by us, mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, or by his stripes, or by his scourging, we are healed. And there'll be some of us that don't receive our healing while we're in this earthly tent, but there will be some that do. Let's put our faith in what Jesus has already done and accomplished for us. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able. When can I invite our worship team to come forward? To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He is able to do more than you ask or think. He's able to do more. According to what? His power that is at work within us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, lives in you. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. Which generation? All generations. For when, ever, and who, ever, let it be so. Amen. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So can I encourage you to let the pendulum fall where it needs to fall, balanced. Let's believe that all things are possible, that Jesus can do what he said he can do. And he can use you as well as he uses anyone else.